Hello, everyone, and welcome to Peach State Prospects, a podcast dedicated to the Atlanta Braves minor league system. I am your host, Gaurav, and I am joined tonight by two of my friends. That's right. We got Garrett and Joe back on the podcast with us tonight. How are the two of you doing? Joe, let's hear from you first. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great today, Gaurav. Sorry, I'm glad to be back. Had some stuff that came up last week, wasn't moved to beyond, but I'm glad to be back. What about you, Garrett?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm glad we have you back. It was kind of funny being two episodes in and you're already taking a day off, like you have paid time off or something. But it's good to have the whole crew back here for this episode. Gee, how are you tonight?
Could be better, but getting through. Our agenda for you today, everyone, is we're going to quickly go over the players of the week for last week, and then we're going to do our little deep dive into AJ Smith-Shawver. So let's go ahead and get started. Over in Gwinnett, you have Andrew Velasquez, who had a 1.033 OPS. He had a home run, five RBI, and a pair of stolen bases, I believe, in five games for the Stripers. Down in Mississippi, it was Brandon Parker, who had a sensational week with a 1273 OPS. He logged three doubles, a homer, and had a pair of RBI for the Mississippi Braves. Down in Rome, the most unconscious hitter in all of baseball, I'm going to go ahead and declare it, is EJ Esposito. He had a 1367 OPS last week, had three home runs, a double, four RBI, also stole four bases. And then down in Augusta, Jace Grady with a 1215 OPS. He reported 10 hits on the week, including a home run, a stolen base, and six RBI. On the mound, the award in Gwinnett went to Grant Holmes, who continued his very impressive 2024 campaign. Holmes appeared in two games, logged 3.2 innings, gave up only one hit, no runs, and five Ks. Down in Mississippi went to Ian Mejia, who also appeared in two games. He accumulated 11 innings, two earned runs, three walks, and 12 strikeouts. Mejia continues a very strong 2024 campaign. Down in Rome, one of our newly minted top 30 prospects. If you didn't see, make sure to hop over our Twitter or TikTok and see our new top 30 posts. But Lucas Braun had one start last week for the Rome Emperors, logged 6.2 innings, struck out seven, and allowed just one earned run. And finally, Adam Mayer down in Augusta had a great start, five innings pitched, two hits, zero runs, zero walks, and six strikeouts. Now, before we hop on to the next segment, I wanted to ask Joe, Garrett, did you have anything to say about either the players of the week or the performance down in the minors?
I'll go ahead. It was a great week for EJ Esposito. I mean, as good as we've seen him play, and he's been a guy that's really struggled for playing time. So it was nice to see him really take over a role.
Yeah,
He
I
continues.
was just gonna say about the same thing. EJ Esposito has been very impressive so far. It just seems like every day we're in the group chat, just kind of bring up something else that he did, and it just hasn't slowed down, and it's really impressive. It's good to see him put in a string of some really good performances. And also, I think we talked about it in the first episode, but it's really good to see Adam Mayer on the mound. So looking forward to him continuing to get put together some strings of good starts and see where he goes the rest of this year.
I love how we've already had someone chime in and say, why isn't EJ Esposito on your top 30? I hope to put him on there just because he forces us to, because he's got like a 1400 OPS.
It make us all look stupid. I'd be more than happy to make that adjustment.
Right? And if he continues to hit and hit for power, like the Braves could really use another really high performing position player, quality bat. So it would only really help the system. Garrett, anything from you?
Oh no, I mean, still same thing with Esposito. What was interesting with him is, he's always kind of had, not necessarily great raw power, but a guy that really gets a lot of lift with his swing and is really looking to do pull side damage and kind of seeing that come together for him. He's made enough contact to make that work. And I mean, he's a guy that can play all over the infield. So, he's not a guy that we consider not a prospect. Just, he when we made the list, he hadn't hit six home runs in a week. So you see something new sometimes.
I will say also too, another thing about him, I hope he does continue this because he's a really fun player to watch too. He's someone who genuinely has fun on the baseball field, and I think that's really cool too. So I think he's one of those players that as he continues to progress, if he keeps this up, obviously not at this pace, but if he actually shows progression this year, he could be someone that fans enjoy going to the ballpark to watch. And I think that's something that we look forward to bringing to Braves fans, to see players like that you're going to be able to see every night at the ballpark.
And
Yeah, he's.
arguably, his most important accomplishment this season has been getting Kevin Kilpatrick to do the waddle during a game. So, all around massive impact on the Rome Emperors period, if you
Might
ask
be the
me.
highlight of the entire Atlanta Braves organization so far this year.
Build a statue.
As long as the statue waddles, I don't know if you can build a statue that waddles, and they need to do it.
Science is weird, man. I want to see it happen. A waddling statue outside Rome Emperor Stadium. Hopefully by the next time all of us make it down to that stadium at the same time.
They
Maybe
steal this. If you steal this idea, you have to pay us for it.
agreed.
At Rome Braves, at Rome Emperors. The rate has
Emperors.
already been established at $35.
Well, now, thanks for that, YouTube. Now we're on to the bulk of the episode where we will begin our deep dive onto AJ Smith-Shawver. So, Joe, I'm going to kick it off to you. What can you tell us about the background for AJ?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. So as we mentioned, we just revealed our top 30 and our number one prospect, AJ Smith-Shawver. We're gonna do a deep dive into him. So a little bit on his background. He was drafted in 2021, in the seventh round by the Atlanta Braves, out of Texas as a high school pitcher. One thing about him that people may not realize is that up until 2020, he wasn't pitching at all because of a growth plate issue in his shoulder. So even in 2021, the year he was drafted, he only made 9 starts in high school. He was a 3-star quarterback prospect, which I feel like there's been an emphasis on multi-sport athletes lately in the draft, and he's just another one of those. He actually committed to Texas Tech to play both football and baseball. On the pre-draft rankings by a lot of different sites, he was somewhere between 200s to the mid 300s. A lot of evaluators didn't have him ranked at all in their rankings. I think it was just because there wasn't a lot of available information on him because he didn't pitch much. He was a third baseman mostly up until 2020. So there wasn't really a lot to go off of, right? He had a lot of raw talent. He had a big arm. In 2021, he did only throw 8 innings. When he was drafted 2022, he spent the entire season at low A. He made 17 starts there, Augusta. And then in 2023, very impressive for a kid this young. He made it all the way from high A to the major leagues. He was really fast track. He was just very impressive that year. In the minor leagues, he had a 2.76 ERA, struck out 11.5 batters per 9 innings, and made it all the way to the major leagues in 2 years. So it's one thing to remember about him too. He is still 6 months younger than Paul Skeens. I mean, he's always going to be 6 months younger than Paul Skeens, but Paul Skeens just making his debut this weekend as the number one prospect in baseball. And it's impressive that AJ Smith-Shawver is younger than him. Still a lot of growth in his profile. So for a little bit more deeper dive into that, I'm going to kick it over to Garrett.
Thanks, Joe. I mean, we've seen a lot of growth from AJ Smith-Shawver in such a short period of time, and you really talk about that athleticism for him. And mechanically, he's a guy that he's very simple on the mound, and that's one of the things that helps him, kind of overcome that in experiences. He has very simple mechanics, so pairing that with the high athleticism makes it easier for him to throw strikes, and he's progressed a lot with his command because of that. Between last year and this year, he's kind of smoothed out his mechanics even more, where he was a little bit jerky in his leg kick and would kind of bounce up before driving towards home plate. He smoothed that out. He's a bit more upright, smoother through his leg kick, and he goes straight downhill. And that change has made a huge impact for him in terms of flashes of command. We haven't necessarily seen, great stretches of it, but we've seen times where he's located a little bit better this year. And so seeing that from him makes a big difference, because I think we can all agree that, the command is the big thing. I mean, Gaurav, I'll let you get more of a scouting report on him.
Before I dive into a scouting report, what would you guys choose? Two sports star in Lubbock, Texas, or minor league baseball in Augusta, Georgia? Like, obviously AJ made the right choice, but imagine yourself 20 with the opportunity to be a two sports star in college versus pitching minor in the minor leagues down in Augusta. What
I
would
take the
you?
$1 million.
Yeah, if you're asking me,
My God.
I didn't mention this, but yes, when he was drafted in the seventh round, he did sign for just under $1 million. So I think that makes your choice a lot easier. And as someone who isn't from Texas and someone who has played both baseball and football, loves both, but loved baseball so much more, I would choose baseball. I think that decision is a lot tougher being in Texas with how big football is in Texas and being a quarterback, but he made the right decision.
And the $1 million like that.
Yeah, and a
All
million
right.
dollars.
I certainly didn't hurt things. All right. Thanks, Joe and Garrett. So, all about AJ Smith-Shawver and what he throws. He primarily has a four-seam fastball that sits anywhere from 94 to 99. It's got great arm side movement, causes a ton of whiffs. He's got over a foot of induced vertical break. So, what induced vertical break means is the amount of spin a pitcher puts on a ball and the result it has on how vertically different the ball would be based on a normal trajectory of a ball. So when I say he's got a foot of induced vertical break, what that means is that fastball that at normally would, let's say, come in at 2 feet higher than where it is based on where it's thrown. He is a full foot above that. So he's got tons of spin on that four seam fastball, and it causes a lot of whiffs. His second best pitch is going to be his slider. It's got great glove side movement. It's been a great neutralizer against both lefties and righties. Similar to that four seam, his slider's got he's got a 5 foot induced vertical break and about 5 inches of horizontal break on to the left hand side. After that, it's a toss-up. He's got a what some models show is a change-up, which some models show is a splitter. He uses that about 18% of the time. It also has great arm side movement. It drops 3 feet. It's just he doesn't throw it again. He's using it a lot more now, but it's become a pretty good strikeout pitch to go along with his four-seam fastball. And then his fourth pitch, one that he doesn't use that often, but he's starting to ramp up his use, is his curveball. It's got about 10 inches of glove side movement. It's got that sharp 12 to 6 kind of shape on it as well. He hasn't used it too much. He struggled against left-handed batters, but it's something that he's still continuing to throw and continue to refine. So again, his fastball usage this year comes in about 56% of the time as his four seam, 19% of the time as a slider, his changeup slash splitter coming in at 18%, and his curveball is 7%. Now, traditionally, a lot can change, or someone super young into their career, and players are specifically working on things on a game by game basis as well. Garrett, I'd love to know, have you noticed any other trends in his pitch variation and how he's pitching both lefties and righties?
Well, one of the interesting things is we knew early on in the year that they were really focusing on Smith-Shawver's fastball and specifically the command of his fastball. So in his first four starts, fastball usage was over 60%. It actually peaked on the 24th of April at 69%. And in the two games since, it's dropped off drastically. Beginning of May, May 1st, it was 51%. Then it went down to 42%, which is kind of counter to what we were really expecting from him. We thought he would continue to throw the fastballs, but it may seem that the Braves have seen enough with him to kind of feel confident in his fastball. And the pitch usage doesn't really vary much left to in left-handers versus right-handers in terms of his fastball usage, but it's the secondaries that have really changed. You know, last year he used his slider about this, you know, a little bit more against righties, but pretty much about the same against righties and lefties. This year, he's dropped off to barely ever throwing the slider, and he's replaced it with his split finger fastball, and he's throwing that closer to, you know, 20, 25% against of the time against lefties. And that's important for him because he really struggled against left-handed batters and last season, and he has to be able to get left-handed batters off of his fastball because they've crushed it at the minor league level, at the major league level. Left-handed batters can see his fastball and hit it. So having that splitter improve this year has made a huge difference. And you started to see him use that splitter. And he uses it against right-handed batters quite a bit too. He's increased the usage against right-handed batters to 11% and kind of cut out his curveball usage. So it's kind of important to realize, you know, like you said, when he gets to the major leagues, they're, you know, at the minor leagues, they're maximizing progression. At the major leagues, they're maximizing performance. So the pitch mix is going to shift towards whatever's performing best, and that may be more splitters or fewer splitters. That may be closer to the 42% fastball versus throwing it 70% of the time. We just kind of have to see how that shift happens. But he's definitely, it definitely seems like they're backing off that high fastball usage that we've seen early in the year.
Coming into the draft, he was really had two plus pitches with his fastball and his slider. Now with the development of, the splitter changeup and then potentially throwing that curveball more, what do you personally see his like best case scenario type of pitch mix would it be? Would it still be that traditional 40% fastball and then he comes in with his slider 30% of the time? Like what do you feel best suits what he can do currently?
I mean, I think with the velocity of his fastball, he can live with his fastball quite a bit. 60%, 55, 60% is too much, especially trying to go three times through an order. You can't throw it that much. But I do think primarily working with his fastball, for me, I think the slider usage needs to increase, though it hasn't been that great at the AAA level this year. His slider just hasn't been that sharp this year for me. I do think that he needs to use the slider more against left-handed batters than he has, but overall, I mean, what we kind of saw in the last start where he dipped below 50% on his fastball and really focused on mixing pitches more is really going to be where he has success, because I don't think that he's not a Spencer Strider where his pitches are so dominant that he can throw it anytime and it really doesn't matter if the batter knows what's coming. He will have to hit locations and mix spots and mix pitch usage. So kind of having a more even split among the pitches will definitely work for him. And I think that all of his pitches have progressed to the point that he has confidence throwing all of his pitches in any count. And that's really a big step for a player, is being able to know that you can trust your changeup, trust your curveball, even if they're your third or fourth pitches.
It's crazy to see how much development he's had, even since being drafted, but from the start of this year to now, like you just see massive improvements. And that fastball command, I would say Owen Murphy just has such incredible command of that fastball. I feel like he can throw it through the eye of a needle. But like AJ Smith-Shawver with that movement and the velocity he has on it, and now that improved command, like that's such a dangerous pitch. And being able to count on that. Just a simple fastball, being able to count on that as your number one pitch has got to give you so much confidence going into any start. So now that we've talked about his scouting report, we've talked about his background, what I would love to talk about next is what do you need to see from AJ Smith-Shawver to truly say this man belongs in Atlanta? There's no more use for him down in the minors. He's got to get up there. We got to find a way to make this happen. Garrett, I want to go to you first.
I think it's really improving the confidence and the command of the fastball and slider for him. We kind of saw a similar approach with Hurston Waldrop, and we talked about it last week, where they're very heavy on fastball slider. I think with Smith-Shawver going so heavy fastball, it has its benefits in terms of his fastball command, but so far this year, I haven't felt like he's had really a feel for the spin of his slider and the location of his slider. So throwing that more often as we go through the year and really getting a feel for that slider, and having that as a confident pitch that he knows he can get outs with in any situation, that's what I want to see from him, because I think that's where he struggled somewhat last year when he got to the upper levels, is he would get deep into counts and really not know how to finish at bats. Having that slider and fastball location is important for me, but I really don't think, I mean, I think it's a matter of time. I think he's already the fifth best pitcher on the team. Like, I really do think that if he would be the fifth best starter on the team right now, it's just a matter of their favoring progression and giving him the opportunity to get those reps at AAA, which I think is a good decision. I think the team's in a situation where they don't need Smith-Shawver right now, but I do think second half of the year, he's going to be there. Like, he's the fifth best starter on the team, and they're going to get him inning.
Joe, let's hear from you.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with what Garrett said about him being one of the best five starters we have right now at the moment. I think, as we talked about a little bit before we started recording, my belief is that the Braves are, again, like Garrett said, focusing on development. They're not in a situation right now where they're desperate. When they called up a Mike Soroka or some of these starters in the past, they needed someone and they went with the guy who gave them the best option. Right now, the team as constructed is good enough to get by while AJ Smith-Shawver continues to develop. And I think the idea is when he gets called up, they want him in the best position possible to be there to stay, right? I don't think they want him up and down and up and down, and we don't want to run into an issue like Kyle Wright got into, where for the first few years he was up with the big club, didn't pitch for 2 weeks, and went back down. They want him progressing and getting better. The one thing, and I'll ask Garrett about this after I make this point, but the one thing that sticks out to me is there are some games this year. We talked about not scouting the stat line so much, but it seems like with this command, it gets away from his control, gets away from him, and the walks pile up, and then he gets hurt. I would like the walks to come down. And also, it looks like they're kind of keeping his innings down. So I don't know if that's because he is still so young and hasn't been pitching for very long. He's never pitched more than, I think, 87 innings in 1 year. So if they call him up right now, plug him in, he may wear down, much like we saw Bryce Elder last year, right? We don't want to have him in the rotation and burned out by mid-July or August. We need him fresh because I think come September, he is without a doubt one of our best five.
Yeah, I mean, they are trying to limit his innings. I think that was mentioned at some point during the season. I may be making that up, to be honest with you, but I'm pretty sure I heard that they were trying to limit his innings somewhat and start him off slow before building him up. And I think we kind of saw where, he was a guy that they, like, in spring training, they did not give him an opportunity. Like, he was not making the roster. But everything we've heard, right, is that the Braves believe he's the guy, and they've believed he's the guy for years now. So I don't see any reason that they're not going to give him the opportunity when that comes. I mean, do you kind of, Rob, do you hear the same sorts of things?
Absolutely. He's the man of the future. He's the face of the Braves rotation. Like, he and Spencer Strider are going to be the two cornerstones of that entire rotation. He's got two plus pitches as is. His changeup splitter is really developing nicely. It's got potential for a third. And then when he spins that curveball well, it's a great pitch. He just doesn't have, amazing feel for it. I wouldn't say it's, close to being average yet, but if you have three plus pitches and then an average pitch, all while you had nine starts your senior year of high school and you've been playing, I think Joe said 80 innings total. Like, it's crazy. And we don't know truly what he's capable of because he's so young in his development and he's already at such a high level that we don't know. What if he develops better command of his fastball? Like, he's still, again, so young and so raw, despite being so polished, that it's hard to project him. He's a really intriguing prospect, and I can talk about him for hours. But quickly, Garrett, you started touching on this earlier, but what do you believe his timeline to the majors is? And then what spot will he be taking in that rotation? What I mean by that is, do you think the Braves may be interested in employing, a six-man rotation to help limit the innings again for himself, for Charlie Morton's 40, Chris Sale? Like, they have some a little older arms. Do you think they're gonna try and employ the six-man rotation, or do you foresee him taking over a position on the rotation itself?
Yeah, I'm not sh like we've talked about the six-man rotation with the team before, but we've never really seen them utilize it. Though it is a situation where, Ronaldo Lopez has primarily pitched as a reliever his whole career. Is he going to run into a innings cap at some point this year? So I think that Smith-Shawver, second half of the year is really the earliest you're going to see him. I could see it being as soon as July. I could see it being as late as, August, September before he gets that opportunity. But I mean, you think about it, he's only had 16 starts at AAA, counting his major league experience, 22 games. It's not even a full experience year of experience at the upper levels. So the Braves tend to like to have that strict year and a half of experience between AA and AAA. He's not quite there yet. You're looking at 7 to 8 starts before he gets there, which would put him, around mid-season-ish. So I kind of see that as where they would target, saying, okay, the experience level is enough. We're confident in this guy. At the progression that rate that he is, that's kind of when I see it. And, it could be a six-man rotation. I think it's more likely that unless Bryce Elder turns it around and gets closer to his first half form, that they kind of send him to AAA and say, hey, go figure things down out there. Because I don't think Elder's in their postseason rotation by any stretch. And so giving him an opportunity to go down may allow him to fix a few things that he really hasn't done well this year. You know, I don't think they have as much confidence in him, really, even as much confidence as they have in Smith-Schauber.
You know, I have a follow-up question to that I just actually thought of, Garrett. So one issue that I have, not really an issue, but one thing I've noticed from AJ is sometimes in the middle of a game, say like by the third or fourth inning, you see that fastball velocity start to dip. He normally sits, 96 to 99 through that first three, and then you'll see a small dip to 93, 94, and he'll sit there for a couple innings, and then he typically rounds off somehow and gets that velocity back up to 95, 96 in his final innings. Is that something that you've identified yourself that maybe they want to also improve his overall pitching fitness? Again, he has not been a starting pitcher for that long. So to expect him to be able to hold elite velocity over 7 innings when he doesn't necessarily have that training in place for years, I'm sure that just comes from continuous repetition. But is that something that you have identified yourself, Garrett? Do you want to also see, or do you think it's just an outlier and it's, a mechanical thing that shows up sometimes where he will lose, something about what his windup is, and suddenly he loses that some of that velocity?
I think it's a conscious choice by the team. They've done it with similar pitchers. They did it with Kyle Muller for a lot. And I think it's kind of use your fastball when you need it, dial it back for command as he kind of learns. And then you'll see with guys, we even saw it some with Spencer Strider when he was in the minor leagues, where they would dial him back while he learned his command. And then once he was able to command at that level, they stepped it up and said, okay, now command 98 to 100. So I think that it's kind of taking steps with him, and he is still adding strength. And one of the big issues with him is he's not very efficient. Especially last year, he really rarely got out of the, got past the fifth inning. This year his pitch counts have been low, but he's pitching a little bit deeper into games, especially when he's doing well. So I think having that efficiency is a key for them. And so not necessarily trying to overpower guys the entire game. They want to focus on really making sure he's throwing strikes and pitching efficiently throughout the middle innings so that he can extend his starts. And then as his command improves, I think they'll let him kind of let loose a little bit more and really sit closer to that, 95-ish, 96 range, all game, and then dial it up when he needs it.
I don't have the data right in front of me, but being able to now rely on that fastball to get whiffs, I'm sure is a really good reason as to why he's able to last longer in games this year. It just seems like last year, like you said, he was not getting a lot of whiffs. He was having really long at bats, and he's starting to shorten that. And I think a lot has to do with his overall fastball itself and being able to just overpower hitters with it. Joe, I want to go back to the previous question. What do you think the timeline to the majors is for AJ, and in what role will he be taking when he does make it back?
So if you would have asked me this at the beginning of the year when our rotation was completely healthy, I would have thought maybe they put him in the bullpen just to get his arm up in the bigs, because he is one of the most electric arms in the system, without a doubt. With the rotation the way it is now, I definitely believe that his future going forward is in that rotation. And as you stated, I think that rotation built around Smith-Shawver and Spencer Strider can be absolutely incredible. Timeline, I have to agree again with Garrett. I think you're going to see in within about a month or so, getting closer. I mean, it could, you never know. If Elder has a few more starts, maybe they feel like, pulling the trigger on bringing him up. If Elder can find a way to be dependable enough, then I think they kind of keep letting him develop and then bring him up. I would say June, July. And I kind of want to talk about you brought it up, the Elder in the postseason type thing. It's one of those things. I think Bryce Elder gets a bad rap because you want, in a perfect world, you want every starter to be a Spencer Strider, where they're just striking out double digit hitters every outing. They're electric, just the swings and misses off the charts. But in reality, that's just not the case. And Bryce Elder, as your 4-5 throughout the length of a season, or even as like your sixth starter who comes in spot start, it's not a bad option. It's better than a lot of teams have in their probably third spot, right? But when it comes down to October, AJ Smith-Shawver is the guy you want on the mound. That is the kind of arm that you can win win pennants with on the mountain. Those are the ones that can dominate hitters, get the swings and misses. You don't really want to build or count on a pitcher who in the big spot can't miss a bat or doesn't tend to miss a bat. And so I think that his future is definitely in this rotation. And I agree that there's so he's someone they want to count on when the games really, really do count for this franchise.
Yeah, and I like that point on Elder. I mean, Elder's not a guy that I want to sit here and say I don't like. I've always, since he came into the system, kind of seen him as one of the better prospects. Just he does everything well. But like you say, I definitely like that point of through the season, you love having a guy like Bryce Elder who's going to consistently fill innings, get you seven or eight every now and then. But when it comes to the postseason, it's a liability when the other team is making contact as consistently as they do.
One through four, you have pitchers on the mound that you kind of expect to be able to keep you in a game and win it. That fifth day, you got Bryce Elder, who typically will beat the teams that you need to beat and then do well enough to keep you in the games against matchups where you would consider he would be at a disadvantage. So he does what you need to do when you needed to do it. But like Joe said, I think that's a great, great added thought that he's not an arm you necessarily want to see in October, but AJ Smith-Shawver definitely is. I think it's safe to say that the three of us are all very high on AJ. He's a fantastic athlete, shown the ability to listen to coaches and continue to improve on pretty much a game by game basis. He's going to be extremely special out on that mound. Well, that about does it here for us at Peach State Prospects. Joe, Garrett, any final thoughts from the two of you?
Well, we're one inning into the game in Rome, and EJ Exposito has not homered yet, so he's going to go down on my prospect list. I think that's just the rules at this point.
I think he might just be tired,
He
He
has
carries
had to
to be
run
fair, he
around
is
those
to be fair,
bases a
he's not
lot.
playing. It does hurt that he's not on the field, but I really think he should just swing one from the dugout and see what happens.
Can we get like in on the backfields in spring training and just let him lead off every inning?
He might end up with like 95 home runs. Well, thanks for tuning in with us, everybody. And we look forward to hopefully joining you next week.